right? Speaking about the effects and stuff, a lot of the themes that you see to tackle are mineral property rights, environmental justice of fracking, economic impact, and environmental impact. And I was wondering if you could discuss just a little bit each of what you've discovered that might be fascinating to someone such as myself or a future historian regarding, you know, those four different themes.
So to me the start of it all was the idea of a setback distance. And so who is determining these setback distances, and who can make a decision about how close those wells can be to a home?
Mm-hmm.
And to answer that question, there's several layers to it. There's an impact idea, but then there's also all the politics at a municipal level, and how much regulatory power does the municipality have to regulate these issues. So then that comes to, like, well, what's the state's power to regulate this relative to the federal government? And then the municipality falls within that. So there's a constant negotiation,
mm-hmm,
between municipalities and the state over what cities can and can't do. So that's just really fascinating to me. And then you throw the dynamic of Texas into the situation, and private property is a huge component of the history of Texas. And mineral property, which I've only just scratched the surface of understanding what mineral,
mm-hmm,
property is. I'm on the committee of a PhD student right now who's writing his dissertation on Texas mineral properties and how they've changed through time. But in order to understand why municipalities were determining the setbacks that they were determining, which are highly variable across the DFW area, they range from like 250 feet all the way up to 1500 feet, or did. And,
mm-hmm,
so like, why, if they're all protecting the same thing, why is there so much variability? I mean, that's what I was interested in like trying to figure that out. And one of the reasons is because of the power of mineral property owners, because,
mm-hmm,
the state prioritizes the mineral property over the surface property. So if these estates are separate, so if someone owns the surface property but does not own the mineral property, like that was sold off at another point in time, or,
mm-hmm,
retained and the surface was sold off, the mineral property owner has the power to access the surface property to get to their mineral properties. So it prioritizes the mineral property owner over the surface property owner. So already you're starting to see an unequal distribution of power among citizens who, across the board, we should all have equal power. But it's been determined through case law that the mineral property owners have more power to make decisions about what's going to happen on the surface than surface property owners do. So that all factored into municipal regulations and what cities could do, because if they were threatened by mineral property owners that somehow this was going to be a taking of their property and access to the economics of their mineral property, then cities would fear potential lawsuits and repercussions. And so that would restrict maybe how far they would set a setback distance. So they would only go so far because they were afraid of,
mm-hmm,
getting lawsuits. So that became an interesting component to me. And then the other thing was, I did not analyze environmental impacts. That is not, I am not a toxicologist.
Okay.
I am not trained in doing that type of analysis. So unfortunately, unfortunately I was not able to find anybody to collaborate with on a particular study like that. So I can only take what other scientists have done to make those determinations. But that's okay, because I can analyze these things and say, okay, how do we begin to understand, like, who is making these decisions, who is being disadvantaged by these decisions, and how are the decisions affecting different people? And so